If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 37. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 37. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As we consider these three verses, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, three short verses, but we see a lot of things about who you are and how you look at each one of us. Lord, may these words that Jesus spoke so many years ago mean something to each one of our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tuesday of Passion Week was coming to a close. In less than 72 hours, Jesus will be arrested, tried, and crucified by those standing around him there in the temple. Since he knew this as God, it wouldn't have been surprising if Jesus had ended his last sermon with a promise of judgment on those who were going to kill him. Because that is something that we would most likely do ourselves. But in Jesus' final words in his last public sermon, before his crucifixion, we don't see that kind of response at all. We see love, concern for God's chosen people. The people God had chosen to be his people thousands of years earlier. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, the call of God to Abraham, or Abram as he was called back in that point in time. Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, Moses summarized it this way. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all of the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possessions. Instead of wrath and judgment, Jesus concluded his sermon with compassion and a promise for his chosen people. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Monday, the day before this sermon, Jesus' compassion was also seen. Luke wrote back in Luke chapter 19, As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. John 3:16 reminds us of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus' compassion for his people wasn't a one-day thing. It was continual, even as his death approached. Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means city of peace. Jerusalem was supposed to be a holy city, a place to meet God and to have his peace. But over time, it became a city of violence and unholiness. The nation's leaders, for that matter, all of Israel, had rebelled against God. They had killed and would continue to kill the prophets and stone and kill other messengers from God, including men like Stephen and many of Jesus' disciples, including some of the apostles. Earlier in Matthew 23, we read, I think it was last week, Jesus said, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And as Jesus foretold in the parable of the tenants in Matthew 21, in their hard-heartedness, the Jews, the Jewish leaders, would even kill the son and heir when he came to them. But in spite of their stiff necks, their hard hearts, Jesus came to gather the people to himself and to save them. God's plan, God's desire for his people was for them to return to him in faithfulness and devotion. Jesus said, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." In his compassion and his love, Jesus longed, wanted to draw Israel to himself and protect her, just as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings to protect her from a storm that would batter them or a hawk that would devour them. The tenderness, the love, even the hurt in Jesus' voice really can't be missed in these three verses. Many times throughout his ministry, Jesus had said, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Filled with agape love, Jesus truly cared for this people that less than 2 days was going to crucify him. Instead of turning to the Messiah, Jesus said, "You were not willing." John wrote about this. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Reading verse 10 and 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. John writes, "He," that is Jesus, "was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Jesus came to his people in truth and light and love and offered them the kingdom that God had promised them. But they rejected him and in the end forfeited the kingdom. God is sovereign over all things. He's omnipotent. That is, he's all powerful. But God would not and God could not force his salvation on people. And neither can he change the consequences of their stubborn rejection. Jesus said in John 5, verse 40, "Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Because of their unwillingness, they refuse to accept Jesus as the Christ. When a person rejects Jesus Christ, it's not God's desire or God's fault. It's each person's own responsibility. Again, when a person rejects Jesus Christ, it's not God's desire or God's fault. It's each person's own responsibility. If you think about it, a special privilege was given to Israel. It happened only one time in the history of mankind. And with that privilege came great opportunity and responsibility. The Son of God, the Messiah, came to Israel as the Son of David, their Messiah, their Lord and their Savior. He lived with them. He taught them. He healed them. He called them to repent. He so perfectly demonstrated the love and mercy of God that in John 14, 9, he is able to say that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. But with hard hearts, Israel rejected the message and the messenger. And their rejection brought upon them God's wrath and God's judgment. Earlier, back in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had referred to the temple as God's house, but had been so misused and so defiled that now he called it your house. Your house probably meant even more than just a temple. It also meant the city and even the nation as a whole, all of which would be destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. When the sons of Eli lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines, the nation of Israel was called Ichabod, because the glory of God had departed from Israel. And I think when Jesus left the temple and the city at the end of Tuesday, he went up to the Mount of Olives, that God's glory departed with him. Soon all of Israel would be called Ichabod, no glory once again, because Israel abandoned God's commandments and even killed his own son, she would be left desolate. God would remove his protective hand. We see the results of that as we consider the last 2,000 years of Jewish history, as Satan has continually attempted to wipe out all the Jews, including the war going on right now between Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah. Although Israel as a people has suffered because God withdrew his blessing from them. Many individual Jews have come and continue to come to Jesus in saving faith. As Paul, quoting from Isaiah, wrote in Romans 9:27, though the number of Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. God may have removed himself from the nation as a whole, but he's never been without a chosen remnant of his chosen people. Jesus had compassion for his people. Again, Jerusalem means city of peace. And when a person rejects Jesus Christ, it's never God's desire or God's fault. It is each person's own responsibility. As Jesus finished his sermon, he didn't close with even a hint of wrath, but with a promise. He would return one day, and the nation would see him and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Those words are from Psalm 118, the same messianic psalm that was quoted so many times during Jesus' last week on earth. These are the same words that the people shouted on Palm Sunday. Someday in the future, Jesus will return and Israel will accept him. They will be reunited with their God. And the word was, Jesus didn't say unless, making the restoration of Israel only a possibility. But he said, until you say, making it a certainty. Even in the sermon condemning unbelieving Israel and her false teachers, Jesus offered hope. One day Israel will finally say in faith, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." On that day, as prophesied by so many prophets, Israel will be forever redeemed, restored, and blessed. Let me just show you one of those. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah. Way towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, begin in verse 8. Zechariah 12, begin in verse 8. We read, "On that day the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem." In verse 10, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." As Paul wrote in Romans 11, verses 25 through 27, Israel hasn't permanently fallen away from God. At God's appointed time, they will return to him. As Zechariah said, "They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." In the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus said in Revelation 22, verse 12, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give everyone according to what he has done." These three short verses don't just demonstrate Jesus' compassion and promise for Israel. They show four truths that are repeated throughout the gospel, throughout the Bible. And I think they're important for all of us, not just for the Jerusalem. First off, they show the patience of God. They show the patience of God. Jerusalem had killed the prophets, had stoned the messengers of God, yet God did not go back on his promise to Abraham. In the end, he even sent his son. But God isn't just patient with Israel. He's patient with all mankind. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter wrote that God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live. Turn! Turn from your evil ways." God is patient with all mankind, those he created in his own image. Second, they show the love of Jesus. They show the love of Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus speaking of love. Jesus will not force anyone to follow him. The only force he can use is the appeal of love, agape love, sacrificial love. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." As he did when he walked this earth, Jesus continues to stand with outstretched arms, ready to shield and protect as he lovingly calls, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." John 1:12 adds, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Third, they show the human responsibility in salvation. They show the human responsibility in salvation. Everyone must choose. Everyone must choose. The people of Jesus' day saw him with all of his power and his authority. They heard his call to repent. They had a choice. And sadly, many refused him. In John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, "I've come into my Father's name. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me." Like those of Jesus' day, people have a choice. Sadly, many still intentionally refuse to come to Christ. Romans 1, verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But the thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Joshua's call to the Israelites in Joshua chapter 24 is the same cry that's made today. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." This three verses shows us the patience of God. They show us the love of Jesus. But Jesus will not force anyone to follow him. They show the human responsibility in salvation. Everyone must choose. And finally, they show the consequences of rejecting Jesus. The consequences of rejecting Jesus. Contrary to the American culture of the 21st century, there are consequences to one's actions. Because of Israel's rejection of Jesus, in less than 40 years, Jerusalem, much of Israel would be a heap of ruins. In John 3, verse 18, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Whoever believes in the Son of God is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." There's a consequence for not choosing to make Jesus one's Lord and Savior and not having one's name written in the book of life. It's to be condemned to an eternity in hell. Turn back to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning of verse 11. Since it's towards the very end of the book, obviously this is the very end of everything. Revelation chapter 20, beginning verse 11. John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." God is patient, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has made a way for everyone to be reconciled with him. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." So first question to ask yourself to make sure, have you made Jesus your Lord and your Savior? And then to go on for all of you that said yes. In Romans 10:14, Paul wrote, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them. Jesus' return is imminent. He said, I'm coming back. So the question to ask each Christian is, are you sharing the way of salvation before it's too late? Before the last time they can stand before God? Let's pray. Lord, I said much earlier, I wasn't even thinking about this part of the sermon. Lord, we all assume life is going to go on as it has forever. And at least for a long time, we all kind of think we're going to live forever. But Lord, the world's not going to go on forever. We see that in the scriptures. We know our lives aren't going to go on forever. Lord, help us to make sure that we are right with you. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, again, use our talents, the ability you've given us to share your love, to share your gospel with those around us, so that they would hear about how they can know where they will spend eternity when it comes their time to leave this life, whatever way it may be. Lord, may we be bold for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.